Why companies keep plugging away even after a big product fizzles. I'm David Brancaccio on a morning with headlines like federal government shutdown averted, but Democrats delay infrastructure vote, stock markets remain down. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are all down in the 0.5% range, but interest rates are holding steady, 1.49% for the 10-year benchmark. The U.S. is still on track to hit the ceiling on federal government borrowing and could therefore start defaulting on its debt around the 18th of this new month. They say the economy is about growth or prosperity even. Others add the word resilience, a system to dampen the blow when the unforeseen or foreseen do happen. A new report from the housing data provider CoreLogic finds that Wyoming and Idaho are the states that would likely take the longest to recover from a major wildfire. Marketplace's Samantha Fields reports on what it takes to make communities more resilient.
There are a lot of different aspects to wildfire resilience, but
one of the concepts of resilience is to build back fast.
Tom Larson worked on the 2021 wildfire report at CoreLogic, and he says building back fast is a lot harder if a high percentage of homes burns down in a town or a state.
Because that higher fraction of homes means that there will be more displaced people, so there'll be more pressure on rentals and people needing short-term housing.
And in more rural states, there can be fewer temporary housing options. That's why Kimiko Barrett, the lead wildfire researcher at the nonprofit Headwaters Economics, says the most important thing communities can do to become more resilient is take preventative measures.
So neighborhoods have adequate water supply. Homes are hardened with space around them in order to reduce flammability to those structures.
She says both the federal government and states need to be making a lot more of those investments in fire-prone communities. I'm Samantha Fields for Marketplace.
Now to a development in how we think about compensation in America. California this week finalized a law to pay people by the hour for making clothing instead of by the seam or the piece, where compensation can be about $6 an hour or less. California's new system could double pay. Marketplace's Caroline Champlin has that.
Los Angeles is the hub of the domestic garment industry, according to UCLA professor Victor Naro.
You go to downtown LA, some of these old buildings, you go inside these buildings, you find 20 to 30 to 40 workers.
Those workers are employed by a contractor who has a deal with a brand, or sometimes multiple brands. Naro's research has found some workers in LA making as little as $2 an hour. Ilsa Metchek, head of the California Fashion Association, opposed the legislation because it makes brands liable for any wage violations their contractors commit. Metchek says production may head out of the state or even the country.
The companies are not going to move, but don't make it in California. Make it in Arizona, make it in Nevada, make it in Mexico.
That could be their loss, says Victor Naro.
I challenge them to go somewhere else and get the same kind of quality production that they get in Los Angeles.
Naro says it won't be easy to replace the estimated workforce of 45,000 based in L.A. In Southern California, I'm Caroline Champlin for Marketplace.
There's news the drug company Merck has released promising human testing results for an antiviral pill that cuts the risk of going to the hospital or dying from COVID in half. It seems to work well against coronavirus variants and would be especially useful in places where another treatment, monoclonal antibodies, are hard to get. Now, if approved after more testing, Merck's pill will be much cheaper than the antibody infusions. These are treatments, not vaccines. Now to a story about how hard vaccine development can be. A German company called CureVac had long worked with the messenger RNA technology in the Pfizer and Moderna shots, but the CureVac shot is still only in development after disappointing results. My Marketplace colleague, the BBC's Victoria Craig, visited CureVac's headquarters in the German city of Tübingen.
The boss of the company, Franz Haas, explained to me that the most obvious difference between his vaccine and others on the market is the way CureVac uses that messenger RNA. Moderna and Pfizer-BioNTech use a modification that CureVac doesn't, and that allows you to get a higher dose of the vaccine, but Haas isn't entirely convinced that that gives you immunity for longer. So his vaccine candidate is still in the development phase. The company is also working on a second-generation vaccine that's already shown some early positive signs in non-human studies.
Mm-hmm. And the key to this version two of CureVac is a deal that the German company made this year with the British drug giant GlaxoSmithKline. How does CureVac think that will help?
Well, it's a more than $170 million deal, and it bolsters CureVac's resources across the board. So the focus now isn't just on a vaccine for the versions of COVID-19 that we know now. The second generation vaccine, they hope, will be quickly adaptable to new variants in the future, and it could even potentially incorporate flu immunity as well.
When we started this entire endeavor, we have been 450 people. Now we are 750 people. You need a lot of manpower, but also a lot of expertise of people who have been doing it.
But CureVac still energized?
Definitely. It is 100% not giving up the fight yet. They have a target to introduce a vaccine next year. Of course, all of that is subject to regulatory approval. And part of the goal, interestingly, is to have doses that don't require the cold storage that some other vaccines do. And of course, that would mean that their vaccine could more easily travel to places in the world like the African continent, where vaccination rates are still very low and procurement has been a challenge.
My Marketplace colleague, the BBC's Victoria Craig, on the risks and complexities of pharmaceutical development. Victoria, thank you.
Always a pleasure.
Our digital producer is Redmond Caralipio. Our engineers are J.C. Bold and Jessen Dueler. I'm David Brancaccio. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.